Morning. Today's Daphne Erevin Mem Vav, when Mem Hamad Bays, we're a little bit after the Gemara. Here in the fourth barak of Erevin, a discussion revolving around Chum Shabbos. The Mishnah taught us yesterday. We saw a number of Mishnahs yesterday, but the bottom Mishnah on Mem Hamad Aleph taught us that somebody fell asleep while he was Baderech. So, Benish Mashas period of the time in which he counted his Makum Shvisa. So he falls asleep, so he's not conscious. So is he kone a makam shvisa in his state of temporary unconsciousness, otherwise known as sleep? So the Mishnah brought down a machlokas between the Tanaim. Shitas Rav Yochanan Menuri in the Mishnah is that he's kone. He gets 2,000 amas in every direction. So despite the fact that he's not awake and he's not in a position where he can make a kinyan, but nevertheless, a sleeping person is going to be kone makam shvisa. On the other hand, the chachamim disagree. His chachamim say, ein lo ella arba amos bavad, he only have 4 amos. So this machlok is between Rav Yochanan Menuri and the chachamim. Later this morning, we're going to paskin the halacha, but before we get to the psak halacha, a discussion and analysis within the sheet of Rav Yochanan Menuri. The Gemara asked a question yesterday. The question was asked by Rava, and that is, Rav Yochanan Menuri says that a sleeping person is kone makam shvisa. So how far does that extend to? What if it's not a sleeping person, but what if it's an inanimate object? What's the difference between a sleeping person and an inanimate object? That is a funny question, but halachically speaking, what's the difference? Sleeping person is not awake, is not aware, is not in a position to make decisions, and neither is an inanimate object. The obvious difference, of course, is that a sleeping person has the potential to be awake and has the potential of being able to make decisions. An inanimate object, of course, is just that, an inanimate object. So the Gemara says, so how far is Rav Yochanan Menuri ready to go? That was the question that was posed by Rava. Yesterday, we articulated the question that's as far as we got yesterday. And now we get to do the analysis, or at least see some of the brisos that may impact this question. So I'm Rav Yosef Tashma. So we are picking it up now in the Gemara Mem Hamad Beis, where we left off yesterday, the following, and that is a brisa. G'shamim shi'ardim Erev Yontov. So let's say rain falls on Erev Yontov. So now this rain that falls on Erev Yontov. So, from the Gemara's perspective, I mean our perspective as well, but from the Gemara's perspective, what happens is that the ocean water gets absorbed in the clouds. The clouds then deposit that water on land, otherwise known as rain. So you have now the rain coming down on Erev Yom Tov. So now it's going to get 2,000 amas in every direction, meaning because this rain here is here at the onset of Yom Tov, and therefore it existed during the Benesh Shoshes period on the ground. So it's kone makom shvisa. So says the Braisa. Now biyamtav harein karagli kol adam. Now if the rain were to come on yantav itself, so then the rain is karagli kol adam. It did not have a shvisa during the Benesh Shoshes period. So so a person now could take it wherever the person makes an eruv. So in other words, any person that collects this rain now, the rain is going to be subject to the tchum of the person that collected it. Good. So the Bryce over here makes a very simple distinction between rain that fell on Erev Shabbos, therefore on the ground during the Benesh Moshes period, therefore his kone is on Makon Shvisa, as opposed to rain that comes on Shabbos itself. And now the Gemara looks to make the following diuk in the Bryce. It's not even a diuk. It's just simply, who does this Bryce line up like? So who is this Bryce following like? If we're going to assume that Rav Yochanan Menuri's position, that not only is a sleeping person going to be kone makom shvisa, but even an item itself, an inanimate object, a keli, is going to be kone makom shvisa, so now we have authorship of the brisa. The brisa belongs to Rav Yochanan Menuri. But Eli Yamar Chefsi Hefker Ein Kone Shvisa Hamani Lo Rav Yochanan Velo Rabbanan. But if I'm going to say Rav Yochanan Menuri's position is limited only to a sleeping person, but would not extend to a keli, I now have this brisa that is unauthored. Certainly the Chachamim won't subscribe to this idea that rain is kone makom shvisa. The Chachamim wouldn't even see it say by a sleeping person. And if you're telling me that Rav Yochanan Menuri's position is only limited to a sleeping person, so then this Brisa over here is not going like Rav Yochanan Menuri either. And so we have a Brisa with no authorship? Can't be. Okay, so Yosef Abai Bekamer Lelash Maita. So Abai now is going over the sugya that we just went over. Amalei Rav Safra La Abaye. So Rav Safra says to Abai V'demuk B'kshamim Masmuchim Le'ir Askinan V'anshe Osoir Da'atam Alayhu. Couldn't it not be that this Bryce is talking about a case where the rain that fell fell proximate to a city, and it happens to be the people in that city had das on the rain? So it could very well be that the rain is not mindless, in that there are people that are right there next to the rain or near where it rained, and had intent on acquiring that rain going into Yontif. It could be that that's the pshat. So Amar Lelo Sagadacha. And the response is, no, that's not the pshat. Did now, because we have the following Mishnah. Bor shal yachid karagli yachid. Vishal oso ir karagli oso ir. Vishal ole abava karagli hamemale. Here in this Mishnah, Mishnah and Beitza, we're talking about the tchum of the water, water that's drawn from a well, making a distinction whether the well is owned by an individual, whether the well is owned by a city, or whether it is an ownerless well. As we already pointed out numerous times, but just as a reminder, tchum is as applicable on Yontif as it is on Shabbos. So the Mishnah Beitza says that if the well is owned by an individual, so therefore the water de facto is going to follow the tchum of the individual of its owner. If the well is owned by the city, so then de facto the water in that well is going to have the tchum of that city. And what if it's ole bavel? Ole bavel is water that is ownerless, so then karagli hamamale. It's going to follow the person that fills it up. V'tani, now we have in another brisa, borshal shvatim yeshlam alpayim am l'chol ruach. That if I have a borshal shvatim seemingly is a boar that belongs to nobody, meaning it belongs to everybody, but it belongs to nobody. Rashi describes, hainusha ole bavel. The boar shal shvatim in this brisa is equivalent to the boar of the ole bavel that we had in the previous brisa. And the and what we're saying over here is that whoever fills it up, that's going to be the tchum that's going to follow. Presumably, by the way, we're talking about filling it up not on Yontav, but rather on Erev Yontav, because that's when you're Kona Shvisa. But either way, the point is that we have these two brises that are arguing with one another, Kashkana Adadi. So, Allah Shmami Nahav Rav Yochanan Nuri HaRabbanan. And so now the resolution between these two brises is that the brisa that says that the water is going to follow the person that fills it is because that subscribes to the Shita of Rav Yochanan Nuri. And that, sorry, let's do that again, let's do it better. The brisa that says that the water is not going to follow the person that fills it, but rather the water is going to have its own tchum, is following the opinion of Rav Yochanan Nuri, in that even inanimate objects are going to be kona makom shvisa. And the brisa that says that it follows the person that fills it, so that subscribes to the shita of the chachamim, meaning that inanimate objects are not going to be kona any makom shvisa. Good. So that is the resolution between these two brises. So the Gemara says, it comes now that not only are Rav Yochanan Nuri and the Chachamim arguing about sleeping people, but they're arguing also about inanimate objects as well. And that really is the only reasonable way to explain the difference between these two brises that we just saw together. Ki also coming to Rav Yosef. Amalei hachi kamar safra v'hachi ahajule. So now the whole matter was brought in front of Rav Yosef and the back and forth. So Amalei v'amalo temalei migufa. So he says, look, let's take a look at the brisa in of itself. Meaning we're going to go back to that first brisa of the rain falling on Erev Yontif versus the rain falling on Yontif itself. And for a moment, we made a proposal that maybe we're talking about where it rained proximate to a city, and the members of the city had das on that rain. It's a bit of a forced pshat in the brisa, but that's the pshat that we send the brisa. So the Gemara says, that's fine. I'm sorry, Rav Yosef is saying it's not fine, meaning it's a really non-acceptable pshat. So the wording of the brisa would have been much clearer if we were describing people that were living next to the rain. So then what the brisa should have concluded is that it's keragle anche oso ha'ir. That should have been the language of the brisa. That wasn't the language of the brisa. The language of the brisa is harehin keragle kol adam. It certainly gives off the sense that we're talking about where a rain near nobody. And I'm going back to the first part of the brisa, right? Just small correction. The yeshlam apayim am l'chol ruach. So the wording of the brisa would have been that they should have been ragle ka'oso a'ir. But by virtue of the fact that it says that it has its own tchum, we're talking about where it rained, not next to a city, but it rained just simply independent of anyone. And the fact that it's kone makom shvisa is because it subscribes to Rav Yochanan Nuri that even inanimate objects are kone makom shvisa. Fine. So where do we stand right now? After analysis, it seems pretty clear that Rav Yochanan Nuri Shita is that not only is a sleeping person going to be kone makom shvisa, but even a kli is going to be kone makom shvisa. And to the question of why then would the Mishnah give us the lesser of the chiddush, meaning that only sleeping person, or not only, but why did the Mishnah specifically give that example? So the Gemara discussed that yesterday. And the Gemara said, maybe lo'odicha kocha de chachamim, just to tell us the strength, how far the chachamim are ready to argue with Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. Not only are inanimate objects not going to be called makom shvisa, say the chachamim, but even a sleeping person, who at least has the potential of being awake, even he's not going to be kona a makom shvisa. That could be that is the reason why the Mishnah would only choose a sleeping person. But lemaskana, it certainly sounds like from the conclusion of the Gemara, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri's position extends even to inanimate objects. We are at the two dots towards the bottom of Memhamed Beis, continuing on Marmar. B'yom tov harei hein karagli kol adam. We're talking about now the rain that falls on Yontov, and the Gemara now wants to know. So the Braisa dealt with the tchum issue. Seemingly there are tchum issues and there are other issues as well, and the Gemara discusses these other issues. V'yamai liknei shvisa ba'ukainos. So the Gemara says, well, let's analyze it from the following perspective. We know that the rain started with the ocean water, and the ocean water then got absorbed in the clouds, evaporated, got absorbed in the clouds, and then it deposited on land. So why not just simply go back to the Okinus? Why not go back to the ocean? Rashi writes over here, Liknishvisab Okinus, Rashi, four lines from the bottom, Sheshaftu Sham Emesh, Vehayom Sha'avu Ha'avim. The way we could view it, says explains Rashi, which is the Gemara's question, is that really on Erev Yantiv, where was it during the Benesh Mashos period? In the ocean. So now that means to say that the ocean really is the Makom Shvisa. That's the point of center. Now what happens is that it goes up into the clouds. It comes over here, significantly far away from the ocean, right? Certainly more than 2,000 Amos. And it comes now to the land and it drops in the land. So what would this be like? This goes back to what we discussed in the beginning of the fourth parak, where you have somebody who was taken out of his tchum. So what's the halacha? Even forcibly, you're taken out of your tchum. Elo ala dal amos, you only have four amos. So maybe over here, this rain that fell on Yontiv only should be given four amos and nothing more than that, as it was taken away from its makom shvisa, and that would be the ocean. That is the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says, Lema delo karebi Eliezer, di karebi Eliezer, hamar kol olam kulam mimei kainas ushose. Now the Gemara says, now, we worked on an assumption. You want to tell me that we're not going to work with this assumption? The assumption of Rebbe Eliezer that all the rain comes from the okainas. Now okainas, by the way, is the same word as ocean. Okay, think of the letter C in ocean. Okay, so okainas. Anyway, but probably making reference to the Yamagadol, maybe a little bit of the Atlantic Ocean, whatever the case is, meaning that he's of the position that all waters are emanating from the Okainos, and so our question is predicated on that assumption. Maybe that assumption is wrong. So I'm Rav Yitzchak Kacha Ba'avim Shniskar Shomer of Yamtov Askinan. So the Gemara says, okay, maybe Rav Elazar is right, and his supposition is correct, that all rain is coming from the ocean. And the reason why over here this is not going to be an issue is because maybe we're talking about where the clouds collected before Yontif. So already on Erev Yontif, those clouds already absorb the water. And so therefore those clouds now, the water in those clouds did not start on Yontif in the ocean, but rather start in the clouds. So the Gemara says, V'dama hanach hazle v'hanach achrini ninu. So, okay, but how do I know now that, So we're saying that these clouds now absorb the water in Erev Yontif. So during the Benesh Mashos period, the rain is in the clouds. That's over our head. So the Gemara says, okay, maybe, but maybe not. Maybe these are different clouds. So the Gemara says, the Islay Sumana Begavayu. So the Gemara says, no, we're looking carefully at the cloud formation. We're looking at the shape of the clouds. However, it's determined it's the same clouds. That's what the Bryce is describing. So the Gemara says, or on the other hand, maybe we don't know. Maybe it is the same clouds, maybe it isn't the same clouds. So what we're looking at over here is a suffix on a din derabanan, meaning if it was the same clouds, so then it doesn't violate the issue of tchum. If it wasn't the same clouds, so then we're in violation of tchum, but tchum is a din derabanan, as we've said repeatedly. Okay, Rabbi Kiva says it's a din daraisa, but the majority position is it's a din derabanan. So now we're looking at a suffix on a derabanan, suffix a derabanan, we can be makel. So Tosfos over here on the bottom of the Amud says, suffix and a derabanan, we could be makel, that's true, but why don't we consider the following? We're talking about a suffix on rain that may have violated the Isra of Tchum. So why don't we do the following? Why don't we wait till after Yontif? After Yontif, there won't be a question anymore. Meaning even if it did violate Tchum, after Yontif would be mutter. This falls under the category of Davar Shiesh L'Matirin. If I have temporary Isurim, and the examples, the best examples, of course, are anything that applies to Yontif, like the Isur of Nolad. If I have something which is temporarily Asur, this is a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matir, and if it's temporarily Asur, even on a Safek, even on a Safek Derabanan, so the Gemara in Beitza tells us that that by a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matir, so let's wait till after Yontif, and then Asher Tochlenu Be'Isur Tochlenu Be'Heter. That's the language of Rashi over there in the Gemara in Beitza. So we'll just wait until afterwards, and so therefore should be mutter. And it would be mutter. And why have to rely on a suffix? So that's Tosos' question over here. Interesting answer of Tosos. So the Gemara says, "Afilu b'suffix divrayim be'eruv hikilu." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but this is eruv, and so therefore we have a right to be even more makel by eruv." Okay, what is the basis of that? It's in of itself. Although if you hear Tosos' answer and you listen carefully to the remainder of today's daf. So it's not gonna explain Tosus, but certainly we're gonna see more of this later on in terms of being a little bit more makel as it relates to the issue of Tchumim. So on a suffix regarding the rain that comes down on Yontif, whether the rain violated Tchum or the rain did not violate Tchum, so on that it's a suffix derabbanan, and therefore we can be makel. We are on the very bottom of Mem Hamud Beis Velikne Shvisa Ba'avim. So why not? Have a kinyan of the rain while it's in the clouds, meaning the rain is in the clouds on Erev Yontif during the Ben Hashoshes period. So why not just simply say that it's koneh in the clouds? So tifshamine dein tchumim lamala miyud di yesh chumim liknei shvisa ba'avim. So the Gemara says, because remember we had a discussion, a debate as to whether or not the iser of tchum applies even above 10 tfachim. The Gemara in Daf Mem Gimel, almost in its entirety, had the discussion of whether or not there is Tchum above 10 Tfachim. Obviously, the clouds are much higher than 10 Tfachim, and so therefore, this issue of the rain being in the clouds, so that really is going to be predicated on whether or not the Isser of Tchum applies above 10 Tfachim. So the Gemara says, Yish Tchum L'Knei Shvisa Ba'avim, so Allah Olam Em L'Cha Yish Tchum. So the Gemara says, well, here's what we could say. We could say that Tchum applies even above 10 Tfachim. Umaya be'iva mivlei bliya. But the water in the clouds is absorbed in the clouds. So it's absorbed in the clouds, and therefore, it's as if the water, so to say, doesn't... how are we going to say this? Meaning, we know it's there, we know it's in the clouds, but because it is not readily perceptible, so therefore, the Isser of Tchum does not apply to it. It's... If I can try to draw an analogy, so it's kind of like Tumah Blua, where once it's absorbed, so therefore it's going to be impervious to Tumah. So over here, once the water is absorbed in the cloud, so it's not going to be subject to Tchum, meaning the institution of Tchum may apply above 10 Tvachim, but because the water is absorbed in the clouds, so therefore it is just not readily discernible to be subject to the Tchum that applies above 10 Tvachim. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. So what we have now done for the last 5 minutes is that we've dealt with the Tchum issue of the water. Why doesn't the Tchum go back to the ocean? Why don't we say that the Tchum applies to the clouds that were in motion, that are movement? Fine. So we've dealt with the Tchum issue as it relates to the water, the rain that comes on Yontif itself. The Gemara says, but now that we're here and we basically painted ourselves into a corner in which we're saying that the water is absorbed in the clouds and therefore it is immune, it's impervious to the Tchum restrictions. So the Gemara says, now you've entered into a new problem as we now turn to the top of Mem Vav Amud Aleph, Kol Shekein Dehavilei Nolad, De'asirei. So the Gemara says, so now, let's think about it. Rain that comes on Yontif itself, so that's a violation of Nolad. And Nolad... Anytime you have something that was not in existence and comes into existence, so that is going to be Asur, an egg laid on Yontif, subject to Nolad. The first mission in Beitza. So over here, why don't we say that the rain in the clouds is also going to be subject to Nolad? So the Gemara says, Elamai ba'avim meinad nayid. So the Gemara says, well, the reason why is as follows. Meaning, we are going to go back and say now that the rain in the clouds is not going to be as absorbed as what we originally presented. And maybe it could be subject to the Tchum of Shabbos. We're going to go back now and we're going to revisit our question of why isn't the rain in the clouds going to be subject to Tchum? Because now we're scaling back, so to say, on the suggestion that rain is absorbed in the clouds and it's not discernible. So the Gemara says, fine. So the reason why it's not subject to Tchum is Memvavamadalf, top line, Ela Mayba'avim Meina Naidi. Because the rain in the clouds is in constant motion. And that means to say that in order for something to be Kona Makam Shvisa, it has to be stationary during the Ben Hashmashas period. If it's in motion, it's not going to be Kona Makam Shvisa. Hashad Hasas Achi, Ukainus Nami Lalikshulach Mayba Ukainus Nami Meinaid Naidi. With this principle, with this yesod, we can go back now and answer a previous question. We asked the question, how come the water is not kona makom shvisa in the ocean? Meaning, what could have happened with the rain coming down on Yontiv is that during Ben Hashmashos period, it was in the ocean, obviously far removed from where we are here on land. And so why don't we say that the rain started its makom shvisa in the ocean, and now when it gets here on Yontiv itself, it is going to be subject to a violation of Tchum, and it only has Dala Amos. So now we can answer that the ocean's in constant motion. The ocean is in motion. Okay. Sorry for the alliteration. And so therefore it's not going to be kona makom shvisa. Vitanya, the Gemara here quotes the Braisa, Naros Amoshchim Amayanos Anovim Harein Karagli Kol Adam, that when you have rivers that are flowing, and the same thing with well springs. So they are Raglei Kol Adam, they're not kona makom shvisa. So whoever draws it, so its tchum is going to follow the person who draws it. And that is another indication that something that's in motion is not going to be kona makom shvisa. And so then we're going to say the same thing with the rain in the clouds. We're going to say the same thing with the rains in the ocean. Ad kan. That brings us now to the end of our first part of today's daf. So, two things that we covered so far this morning. Number one, Shitas Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, and the extent of his position that not only is a sleeping person going to be kona makom shvisa, but even inanimate objects are going to be kona makom shvisa. That is Shitas Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. And the next thing that we discussed is that one of the braces that we quoted in that discussion taught us that rain that comes on Erev Yontiv, so it depends whether you subscribe to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri or not, rain that comes on Yontiv itself is going to follow whoever draws it. That's the braisa. And so the Gemara took the time now to discuss Tchum as it relates to rain that falls on Yontiv itself. Why isn't it a violation of Tchum? Why isn't it a violation of Nolad? Okay, good. Those are the discussions the Gemara had. We continue. We are on Memvav Amud Aleph, and we are five lines from the top of the Amud. Amar of Yaakov, Be'ini Amar of Yeshua Ben Levi. Halachik Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. So he says that the halach in fact falls like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. Interesting, because in our Mishnah, it's a machlokus between Yachid versus Rabin. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri is a Shitas Yachid, and he's being more makel, but nevertheless, Rav Yeshua Ben Levi, it teaches us that the halacha here falls like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. So Amalei Rebbe Zerul Rav Yaakov Ba'idi Befer Shmi Alach, O Michlala Shmi Alach. Was that said to you explicitly? Or was that just simply something that was implied based on another statement? Amalei Beferish Mi'ali. No, I got that very clearly. So Beferish Mi'ali. So my klala. So the Gemara says, okay. Now by asking the question, was this explicit or was this implicit? So implicit in that question is that there was another statement that was made by Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, which we could have deduced would have indicated that the halacha falls like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. What was that other statement? So my klala. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the statement was. The statement to Rav Yehoshua ben Levi is that when it comes to Erevin, we're going to be Mekel. So it's a din de Rabbanan. I assume that's why we're going to be Mekel. Could be wrong, but I assume that's why we're going to be Mekel. And so therefore, we're going to be Mekel by Inyane Erev. We have a machlokas, we're going to be Mekel by Inyane Erev. So that's the statement to Rav Yeshua Malevi. And so now, good. So you had that statement to Rav Yeshua Malevi, a general statement about Klalei Pesach as it relates to Erevin. So over here, without the separate statement to Rav Yeshua Malevi, the halacha follows like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, that statement in itself would have seemed to have already indicated that the halacha follows like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. So Vitarti Lamali. So now the question comes on Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Rav Yeshua ben Levi now has made two statements. One, the broader statement regarding Erevin. The halacha falls like the more lenient position. Two, in our issue over here about Shvisas Hefker, so he says the halacha is following Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. So now it seems to be that Rav Yeshua ben Levi is redundant. Once we know that the halacha falls like divrei hamekel by Erevin, so the second statement of Rav Yishum and Levi that over here we need to say that the halacha falls like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri seems to be a redundancy. And what is the purpose of Rav Yishum and Levi making the statement? What seems to be one time too many? Okay, that's the Gemara's question. The Gemara will be spending a good amount of time with this question. The remainder of today's Amud Aleph is going to be dedicated to this question. And a number of approaches. This is going to be our first approach. I'm Reb Zera Tzricha. So Reb Zera says it's necessary. Because the Iyash min halacha Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, because if he would have said over here, the halacha falls like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri in our case, bein lekula, bein lechumra. So I would have thought that the halacha falls like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, whether it results in a kula or whether it results in a chumra. How would it result in a kula? Rashi says, like a person who's sleeping. The person who's sleeping is going to be kone makam shvisa. What's the alternative? If he's not kone makam shvisa, he's only given dalar amos. So over here, by stating that the halacha falls like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, so this person, instead of only getting dalar amos, is going to be receiving 2,000 amos in every direction. That's the kula of Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. What's the chumra of Rav Yochanan ben Nuri? So let's take a look at the next Rashi. Rashi says, kagon kli hefker, something that is ownerless. Something that's ownerless, so that means to say that now it's going to be kone, it's makam shvisa, according to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. Now, if I come along and I have a tchum that is not the same tchum as the item, so now when I pick up the item and take it home, I may not be able to take it home, because that item now is going to be bound by its own tchum. And so I may not be able to take it home. So Rav Yochanan ben Nuri can sometimes result in a chumra. So I might have thought, if all I had was Rav Yishuv and Levi saying that over here, the halacha falls like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, so I would have thought, bein lekula, bein lechumra. Kamash malan, halacha gedivrei hamekel be'eruv. So over here, that's why we go out of our way to say the halacha is like divrei hamekel when it comes to eruv. So that now becomes really interesting. Because now, what we're saying is that, yes, Rav Yishuv and Levi passes like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, but you know, not all the way. Meaning only if that psak results in a kula and not results in a chumra. That's a little bit challenging. That's interesting. Meaning if we're going to pass on like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, isn't it based on the svara of Rav Yochanan ben Nuri? And isn't that svara going to present itself whether it results in a kula, whether it results in a chumra? Okay, so this is what I spoke about earlier this morning, this idea that when it comes to Erevin, so we're going to be a little bit more makel, even in this scenario over here where we're normally following the svara of Yochanan ben Nuri, but when it results in a chumra, we're not following his svara. Okay. Velema, continuing in the Gemara, Velema halacha kedivrei hamekel be'eruv. So halacha k'Rav Yochanan ben Nuri lamali. Let's go in the other direction. Rav Yishuv ben Levi says that when it comes to Erevin, halacha is kedivrei hamekel. However, there was another statement of Rav Yishuv ben Levi that over here the halacha falls like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. And the Gemara says, now, once we know halacha divrei hamekel, doesn't that cover everything? And doesn't that cover over here that the halacha will in turn follow like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri? So the Gemara says, no, it's the rech. No, it's necessary. Because look, if there's a debate in the Mishnayos, amongst the Tanayim, a debate between one individual against another individual, or if it's one group against another group, we're in a debate. It's pretty much an even debate. So by Erevin, we're going to be Mako. Fine. Aval Yachid b'makom Rabbim, may malo. But over here, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri is a Das Yachid. And he's going against the Rabbim. So therefore, I would have legitimately entertained the idea that over here, we're not going to pass like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. It's a Shitas Yachid against the Rabbim. That's what I might have thought. That's why Rav Yishuv ben Levi has to go out of his way and say, specifically over here, the Halacha falls like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. So the Rava says to Abaye, I'm not following. Over here, the topic is Erevin, which is a Din D'Rabbanan. So by Din D'Rabbanan, let's be Mekel, meaning even if it's Yachid against Rabbim, but it's a Din D'Rabbanan. So over here, as long as that one voice is a part of the Masorah and is a tenable position, so then what difference does it make whether it's one-on-one or one on a group? We should follow divrei hamekel. So amalei rapapa l'rava uvid rabbanan lo shanalam ben yachid b'makom yachid l'yachid b'makom rabim. And so the Gemara deliberates this very point, meaning just because it's an issue, it's an iser de rabbanan, you mean to tell me that we're not going to discriminate how the debate plays out, whether it's one against one or one against a group? Of course it's going to play out. And the Gemara is going to give a number of examples where we see that even by Din D'Rabbanan, we do take into consideration how the debate plays out, whether it's one against one or one against a group. Consider, the Gemara is going to give a couple of examples. Consider the following. Mishnah regarding a Nida. So we know that when a woman is a Nida, she's Tmeya. And we discussed this in the first paragraph of Masechta Nida. And when is she Tamei? When the blood discharges, when it comes out of her body. On the other hand, the Mishnah over there, the Mishnayos over there, and the Gemara over there raises the issue that, look, maybe it came out of her body, but it just the blood was in the Prizdor for a little bit of time before it came out of the Prizdor. But once the blood goes into the Prizdor, so at that point in time, she's already a Nida. She's already Tamei. So why don't we entertain that? And so the discussion, the debate that takes place in the beginning of Masechta Nida is that maybe her tumah should go back retroactively. And Lemaskana, the Gemara over there says that mid-Rabbanan, rabbinically, so her tumah is going to go back retroactively. This is what's called tumah meis leis, right? That Lemafre retroactive from the time that she first sees the blood emerging from her body. So now retroactively, the last 24 hours, she's going to be tumea. That is the tumah meis leis of Enida. That is a din d'rabbanan. Why is that a din d'rabbanan? Because she has a chazaka. Her chazaka tells her that she is not a nida. And now she sees the blood. So when did the blood come out? And at the last moment when the blood actually emerged. So fine. So that is a din d'rabbanan. With all that stated, so now let's consider the following debate that takes place in that first paragraph of Nida. Vatanan Rabbi Eliezer Amar Kalisha Shavro La Gimel Aonos Daya Shaita. That when you have a woman who has gone through three menstrual cycles but did not bleed, so now she's going to be given the status of Daishaita, meaning that she will not have to go back 24 hours retroactively for the next time that she discharges. V'tanya will learn the Maisa Vasa Rebbe, Kirebi Elazar. And so this opinion of Rebbe Elazar espoused over there, so that was a Shitas Yachid, meaning the Chachamim don't agree. And there was an occasion once where a question came in front of Rebbe, and Rebbe passed like Rebbe Elazar. He was Mekel. Now, Rebbe said, now, what an interesting psak that I myself offered, which is that we're going to paskin like Rebbe Lazar. He said, das yachid. But you know what? V'shas adchak, it was a time of need, so therefore, it was kedai. It was okay to rely on the position of Rebbe Lazar. Rashi, parenthetically over here, says, what does that mean, shas adchak? Meaning that Rashi says that it was a year of scarcity, there wasn't a lot of food. And if we're going to take food and declare it to be tamei, because it was touched by this woman, retroactive from the time that she first saw the discharge of blood, so now that food is no longer tahor, now it's going to be tamei, it's going to be inedible, right? That only applies to truma, but anyway. But the it's a shas atzchak, and therefore we can be mekel. So the Gemara says, my la'achash and iskar. So the Gemara says, let me understand that a little bit better. Achash and Iskar, what did he remember? Elam Elachash and Iskar, Dein Alach, Karebi, Eliezer, Elach, Rabbanan. So Bishas, Tzachak, Echav, Kavaseh. So the Gemara says, wait one second. If the Psak is like the Chachamim and not like Rebbe Lazar, so then Shas, Tzachak can't really play a role. So Ela, Dolo, Itmar, Yechos, Elach, Rebbe Lazar, Elach, Rabbanan. So in other words, there was no Psak, meaning the issue is debated without a conclusion to the Machlokas. So la'achash and iskar, delav yachid, palagala, ela rabin, pligi aleha. So amarhu, kedai Rebbe Lazar, l'smachalav v'shas atchak. So here's Rebbe's consideration. Look, it's a machlokas, but it's a machlokas yachid v'rabin. So had it not been shas atchak, had it not been unusual circumstances, had it been quote-unquote normal, so then of course we would have gone with the rabin over the yachid. And so because it's a shas atchak, so therefore we can go like Rebbe Lazar. But short of that, we're going to go like the chachamim. So here we have an illustration of a din d'rabbanan, because we're not talking about the issue of nida, we're talking about the tumah lemafreya, the retroactive 24 hours, which is a din d'rabbanan. The Gemara over there concludes very clearly, Rashi over here writes it, that's a tumah d'rabbanan, not a tumah d'araisa, and over here, it's a machlokas between yachid v'rabim. Rebbe Lazar says that this woman is not going to go back lemafreya for the woman who has missed three menstrual cycles, and the Shita of the Chachamim is that we are going to go back Lamafreya, and so it's a Machlokas Yachid V'Rabim, and Rebbe says, under normal circumstances, I'd pass on like the Rabim, not like the Yachid. Only now, Shas Atchak, I think we can go like the Yachid, otherwise we're going to pass on like the Rabim. So you see, by Din D'Rabbanan, we do take into consideration that we're going to follow the Rabim over the Yachid. Amr Mishash L'Rava, V'Amri L'Rav Nachmar Yitzchak L'Rava, Uvid D'Rabbanan Lo Shanalei Ben Yachid Ben Makom, Yachid Ben Yachid Ben Makom Rabim. And the Gemara says, I'm going to give you another example where we find that we're sensitive to how the machlokas plays out, individual versus a group, even by din derabbanan. Let's go over another brayso. V'atanya Shmuel Krava Nohega Shiva V'Shloshim Rechoka Einu Noheges Ela Yom Echad. So in terms of the halachas of Shiva, if it's a Shmuel Krova, which we're going to define in just a moment, but basically the idea is that you hear about the death, you hear about the death proximate to the actual death. Shmuel Rechoka is that the news didn't get to you that quickly. You heard about it sometime later. And so in terms of the Shiva, in terms of Shloshim, so the halach is Shmuel Krova Noheges Shiva V'Shloshim Rechoka Eino Noheges Ela Yom Echad. So for Shmuel Krova, so you go through the standard Shiva, and also you go through all the Nihuge Shloshim. They outlined in detail Moed Katan in the third parak. And when it comes to Shmuel Rechoka, so only one day of Avelos. And we're going to learn later in Moed Katan, it's not even one day. But anyway, Ve'ezvi Krova, Ve'ezvi Rechoka. What's Krova, what's Rechoka? So B'sok Shloshim Krova, La'achar Shloshim Rechoka. Divrei Rebbe Kiva. So what is a Shmuel Krova? You heard within 30 days of the death. Shmuel Rechoka, you heard after 30 days of the death. And that is all Shitas Rabbi Kiva, which means that in this issue, he's a Das Yachid. Because who's on the other side? The Chachamim Amrim. The Chachamim say, Achas, Shmuel Krova V'Achas, Shmuel Rechoka, No Hegesh V'Shloshim. So the Chachamim say that, no, whether it's a Shmuel Krova, Shmuel Rechoka, Shiva, Shloshim, it's fine. So we see a Machlokas now. Avelos is a Din D'Rabbanan. First day of Avelos is open for deliberation as to whether or not that's a din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan. But we're not talking about the first day of Avelos. We're talking about Shiva. We're talking about Shloshim. So that's a din d'rabbanan. So now the Gemara says, so what do you see over here? Machlokis, and in terms of the Psak, the Gemara says the following. Gvi ama rabba barbachanam rav yochanan, komakum shatam otse yachin mekel v'rabim machmirim, halacha k'divriam machmirim. So when you have a machlokis yachin v'rabim, so the halacha is going to, and even though the rabbim are being machmir, so we should be cautious and we should be machmir. So Amarubim, so Hamachmirim, Amarubim, Chutz Mizu. This is a notable exception. Sha'afa Pisha Rabbi Kiva Mekel V'Chachamim Machmirim. Rabbi Kiva is a Mekel. Rabbi Kiva says that when it's a Shmur Rechoka, so you don't observe Shiva V'Shloshim. So he's a Mekel. And so over here, the Rabbim are arguing and the Rabbim are Machmir. But Halacha Kedivri Rabbi Kiva. So, but over here, the Halacha is going to fall like Rabbi Kiva. V'Savala Kishmol. And wait, we're not done yet. And over here, he's subscribing to Shita Shmuel. Da'amr Shmuel, halacha k'divrei Mekel, be'avel. And the reason why we're going to make Mekel over here is because this topic is Avelos. And we're going to be Mekel as it relates to Avelos. So over here, what came out from this entire discussion? Avelos is a din d'rabbanan. But not just a standard din d'rabbanan, if we could say that. But rather, it's one in which there is room to be even extra Mekel. And so as a result of that, we have a machlokas in terms of what happens by Shmuel Rechoka. Rabbi Kiva says you don't observe Shiva V'Shloshim. The Chachamim say you do observe Shiva V'Shloshim. And the Psak that was brought down over here is that because this is Avelos, and Avelos we get to be extra Mekel, so therefore we get to follow the Shitas Rabbi Kiva, even though he's the Mekel. Now, Be'Avelosu Da'kilo Be'Rabban. Now the Gemara finally arrives at its point, which is that we're going to be Mekel over here because it's Avelos. But had this been quote unquote a standard din derabbanan, so then we would have followed the rabbim over the yachin. Okay, so lengthy discussion, but what comes out over here is that by din derabbanan, we are going to take into consideration whether or not it is one individual against an individual versus an individual versus a group. All this comes now around full circle as we have finally finished off our first Amud and our first approach within the Shita of Rav Yishuv ben Levi. Rav Yishuv ben Levi says Halacha is Kedivrei HaMekel when it comes to Erevin, and Rav Yishuv ben Levi also says that in our topic of Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, a sleeping person, and we can also add inanimate objects, are Kohanim Makom Shvisa during the Ben Hashmashos. So we're going to pass on like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. Why make both statements? Meaning Rav Yochanan ben Nuri typically is the Mekel on this issue. Although we did illustrate that it could be that if I follow Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, it could result in a Chumrah. But why does Rav Yehoshua ben Levi have to make both statements? Halacha k'divrei HaMekel be'erevin, and over here halachas like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. So the Gemara now has just gone through our first approach of why both are necessary. The first approach, we're going to credit Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zera was the one who gave us our first approach. The Gemara now is going to be giving a second approach, as we're now on the top of the Amud Beis, Rav Papa, Amar Itzterich. They're both necessary. Both statements of Rav Yeshua and Levi are necessary. Because Sakadat Chamin Nahani Milabeir V'chatzeros. I might have thought that he'll be Mako, but only when it comes to Eruv V'chatzeros. Aval Be'eruv V'tchumim Emolo. But not by Eruv Tchum, so Tzricha. So that's why it's necessary. And this goes back to a point that we already made before, but we get to make it now again. And that is that the Eruv Chatzeros is, generally speaking, a more relaxed institution. It's not as formal and it's not as rigid as that of Eruv Tchumim. Eruv Tchumim, you're Kone Amakum Shvisa, right? We talked about that regarding Shlichus and the child. So there you're requiring an actual Kinyan. That's why the child cannot make an Eruv Tchum, because that's going to require formal Kinyan. On the other hand, when it comes to Eruv Chatzeros, the Gemara taught us earlier, child can go around from around the courtyard, from house to house, go ahead and collect the bread from everyone over there, put it in the basket, and it was just there to unify everybody. But there's no formal kinyanim that are made. So over here, Rav Papa explains that I might have thought that, yeah, we're going to be makel when it comes to Eruv. But that's Eruv Chatzeros, not necessarily Eruv Eitz Chumim. That's why I need a second statement of Rav Yeshua ben Levi to tell me that the halacha over here falls like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri is on the topic of Tchumim. So it's Tzricha, so therefore it's necessary. And how do I know that such a distinction exists? So the Gemara says, because consider a Mishnah. I'm Rav Yehuda ben Medvar Mamorim be'eruv Tchumim Maval be'eruv Chatzeros Ma'arvin Ben Ladas Ben Shalom Adas. So when there's das that's required for an eruv that's by eruv tchum, there's das that's required. Again, we get to say the same point, because by tchum you're making a kinyan, and so therefore das is required. And when it comes to eruv v'chatzeros, ma'arvin bein ladas bein shelo ladas. However, when it comes to eruv v'chatzeros, I don't need somebody's consent in order to make eruv v'chatzeros on his behalf. Now we all know this, or at least we should all know this, and that is by eruv v'chatzeros. So you and I made a contribution for the eruv v'chatzeros. Now, what does that mean? No one came and asked me. No one came and asked you. So it was done on our behalf, based on the principle of Zachan La'adam Shlo B'fanav. Here's our Gemara. She Zachan La'adam Shlo B'fanav Ein Chavan La'adam Shlo B'fanav. So when it comes to Eruv Chetzero, so it can be done on my behalf because I can provide a schus for somebody. And there's no downside for the Eruv Chetzeros. There's only benefit. There's only gain. It allows me to carry from my house into the Chetzer. So you could do that with Eruv Chetzeros. You can't do that with Eruv Tchum. I can't make a tchum on somebody's behalf and say, look, I'm really helping him because now I'm going to give him an extension of his tchum in this direction. So again, like we said many times, when it comes to tchum, so yes, you extended his tchum in one direction, but you shortened his tchum in the other direction. Right? When it comes to tchum, it's the same 2,000 amos. It's just a question of where your point of center is. You can't go and do it on behalf of somebody else. He may not want that extension in one direction and thereby limiting where it can go in the other direction. So fine. So this idea that will be more Mekel when it comes to Eruv Chatzeros than we would in an Eruv Tchum. And even though Rabbi Yeshua Malevi says that we're going to be Mekel by Eruv, I might have thought that he only meant by Eruv Chatzeros, not by Eruv Tchum. That was all second approach. And here we are now with our third approach, Rav Ashi Amar Yitzrich Sakadat Chamina. Hani Mili B'Shiyure Eruv. I would have thought that we're going to be Mekel as it relates to leftover Eruv. I'll explain what that means better in a moment. Ava B'Tchilas Eruv, but when it comes to Haskalas Eruv, Eim Alo, I might have thought no. That we're not going to be Mako. So, Umanat Tamad Deshan Le Ben Shiur Erev Letchilas Erev. Now, how do I know that there's a difference between the remainder, the remnant of an Erev, versus an Erev from the very beginning? Okay, so before we see the Mishnah here inside, the Mishnah is coming up later in the Masechta, but let's take a look at Rashi over here. When we're talking about the leftover of the Erev, what do we mean? Rashi writes over here, Shiure Erev, Shiiniach Erev Bamakom Hamishtamer, Lekamash Abasos. So, what you did is you left food in a place. The place was protected, right? You put it in some closet, some chest, whatever. You put it in somebody's house. But you put the Erev over there with the understanding, the expectation that it's going to last for more than one Shabbos, for multiple Shabbosim. Rashi then goes on to write, V'nismayit ha'ochel mishir be'se'udos. So, makilim ve'lach shure. So, how much do you need for your Erev Tchum? So, as we already pointed out. So, you need 2 meals worth. So, if I'm depositing it for multiple Shabbosim, so it's understood that the food is going to dry up, right? If it's a fruit, then it's a total perishable. But whatever, let's say it's not super perishable, the right matzah. So whatever the case is. So when it comes to the subsequent Shabbosim, so we can be more makel. as long as it started at two meals worth, so then it can be used for future Shabbosim, even if the shiur is less than two meals worth. That's the halacha of shiurei Erev. So I might have thought that this halacha that we're going to be makel only applies to this idea of shiurei Erev, but when it comes to aschalas Erev, we're not going to be makel. So u'menat temer, the Gemara, now we're back to the Gemara. U'menat temer, the shalom ben shiurei Erev, l'tchilas Erev. Now, how do I know there's such a difference? So we're going to see we're going to quote a mishnah that we're going to see later in the Masechta. Did not Amr Rav Yosef ben Medvar Mamor b'tchilas Erev, b'shiur Erev, afilu kol shehu. V'lo Amr la'erev chatzeros, ela kadei shelo lishkach toras Erev min hatinokos. This idea that we're going to make a distinction between the beginning Erev versus and leftover Erev, that's only as it relates to Erev chatzeros. That would not apply to Erev Tchum. And the reason why, Rashi over here writes, is because Iker Erev, Rashi Devar Maschav, Lo Amr La'arav B'chatzeros, Elo Shalom Lishkach Eset Tinokos, Iker Erev, Rashi writes at the end, Iker Erev B'tchomem Hu, that when it comes to the main institution of Erev, it applies to Tchom. Meaning that, again, it goes back to what we said before, Tchom is where you're making a significant kinyon, you're actually relocating, you're moving Makom Shvisa, that requires a bona fide kinyon. And so there, we're not going to make this distinction of, is this the first time you're putting it up, or is this a residual, is this a leftover, so to say, of the first time? So the Mishnah later on says that this is only going to be necessary, I'm sorry, this distinction is only by Eruv Echatzeros. And the reason why is because we don't want kids to lose sight of Eruv Echatzeros. So in other words, as long as we could point to food, doesn't matter how much food is there, so then the children are going to remember that there's an institution of Eruv Echatzeros. But when it comes to Erev Tchum, so no such distinction is to be made. And so what comes out over here now is that based on this very basic difference between Eruv Echatzeros and Eruv Tchumim, so now I might have thought then that that when we're going to be Mekel by, when Rav Yishuv ben Levi made the statement that we're going to be Mekel by Erevin, I would have thought that that's limited to Eruv Echatzeros, not to Eruv Tchum. But over here, you need the second statement of Rav Yishuv ben Levi to tell me that we're going to be makel by Erev Tchum, even in our case over here. We have so far now tackled the issue of, and it covered a good part of today's daf, who the halacha falls like when it comes to a person sleeping and inanimate objects and their ability to be kona makom shvisa. Machlok is in the Mishnah between Rav Yochanan Nuri and the Chachamim. Rav Yochanan Nuri says that a sleeping person is going to be kona makom shvisa. And the Gemara extends that even to an inanimate object. And now Rav Yishuv ben Levi says that the halacha falls like Rav Yishuv ben Levi. It also happens to be that Rav Yishuv ben Levi says that halacha kedivrei Hameikel when it comes to Erevin. And then the Gemara spent over an amud discussing why is it necessary for Rav Yishuv ben Levi to make the statement, not once but twice. Once generally, and then the second time specifically in our case over here. And the Gemara has provided for us three different approaches. Just quickly to review the three approaches. The first approach of Rabbi Zera is that I might have thought that over here, if he just said over here, that would have been Beil Kula Ben Lechumra. So therefore, we have to say, no, the halacha is going to be like Rav Yochanan Nuri, but only when it results in a Kula. And as far as going in the other direction, I might have thought that that over here, we're not going to pass like Rav Yochanan Nuri, because he's a Yachid against the Rabbin. And even though Erevin is a Din to Rabbanim, but I would have thought that we should pass like Rabbin over Yachid. And the Gemara gave a number of other cases where we do that. Approach number two of Rav Papa on the top of the Amud Beis tells us that I might have thought that there's a basic distinction between Eruv Echatzeros and Eruv Tchum. The third approach, that being provided by Rav Ashi, so he says that I need both because I might have thought a distinction to be made by the Haschalas Eruv versus Shiyura Eruv, where we do find in other areas that there is a distinction to be made. We are now in the middle of Memvav Amud Beis. Really interesting Gemara is coming up in terms of Klalei Hapsak. Who do we paskin like? So you have a machlokas. In other words, we just touched on the issue of what happens when an individual is against Rabbin. But what if it's a one-on-one? So it's right. We are nowhere in a position to rank the Tanaim to say who normally beats whom. Good, we're not in that position. But various Amoraim did feel that way, and so here we get to see some Amoraim in terms of how they considered a machlokas between one Tana and another Tana, and who do we normally favor? Rabbi Yaakov, Rav Zvika, Amar Halacha ki Rabbi Akiva mechavero. So statement number one that is ascribed to Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Zvika is that if it's Rabbi Akiva against any colleague, we fall like Rabbi Akiva. Ucha Rabbi Yossi Mechave Rav. And the halacha falls on Rabbi Yossi, even if he's going against a group. And Ucha Rabbi Mechave Rav. And we pass on like Rabbi when he's going against a colleague. Any colleague, but one colleague. So for Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, one-on-one, we're going to favor Rabbi Kiva against anyone and Rabbi against anyone. Rabbi Yossi, we're going to go even further, even if it's against Rabbim. L'may Yochasa Rabbi Asi Amar Halacha. Now, to what degree are we saying this? Meaning that clearly over here we're saying that we're favoring. How much are we favoring? So Rav Asi says we're going to go so far as to say it's Psak Halacha. That the Halacha follows like Rabbi Kiva against a colleague, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi against a colleague, Rabbi Yossi against even a group. So it's the halacha. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar Mat, and Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says, no, we're not saying it's psak halacha definitively, but we're saying that we're going to incline in that direction. And if there's any other mitigation that allows us to go even further in that direction, then for sure we're going to go in that. So in other words, it'll be a consideration, but it doesn't mean necessarily that it is absolute psak halacha. And Rav Yossi bar Chanina Amar Nirin. And Rav Yossi bar Chanina says it in the weakest form, which is that we're not going to paskin. But if an incident occurred and somebody paskin in Rav Yossi's favor or in Rabbi Kiva's favor or in Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's favor, so we're not going to go back and we're not going to revoke. But we're not going to lechatchila paskin like any of the positions. Okay, so three different ways, three different levels in terms of how we favor Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and Rabbi Kiva. Kalashon Hazeh Amar Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan said it in this particular language, which is Rabbi Meir Rav Yehuda Alachik Ka Rabbi Yehuda. So when you have a machlok between Rabbi Meir and Rav Yehuda, we follow like Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Yehuda Rav Yossi Alachik Ka Rav Yossi. Rav Yehuda against Rav Yossi, the halacha is like Rav Yossi. Okay, and so now we go back to our transitive property. So if we know that Rav Yehuda trumps Rav Meir, and we know that Rav Yossi trumps Rav Yehuda, so then Ein Tzarech Lomar Rav Meir Rav Yossi Alachik Ka Rav Yossi. So then Rav Yossi and Rav Meir, for sure the halacha is going to be like Rav Yossi. And obviously we have to fight our natural inclination is that when we're doing this ranking system, so we sometimes walk away with the sense of, oh, so Rav Yossi was smarter, better, however you want to say it. But that's not true. In other words, we know very clearly, the Gemara says that Rav Meir, nobody could keep up with the thought process. The Gemara elsewhere says, right, he's so sharp that that sometimes he says things that people don't understand. Okay, so Rav Meir's cognitive abilities and his powers of insight and reason are, the Gemara says, ahead of others. But in terms of the Psak Halacha, this is the Masorah that's given to us by the Amoraim, that we're going to follow like Rav Yossi over Rav Yehuda, and because we're going to follow Rav Yehuda over Rav Meir, so we're going to follow like Rav Yossi over Rav Meir as well. So Hashem b'makom Rav Yehuda leisa b'makom Rav Yossi mibayei. That's what I should have read when I finished the sentence. But anyway, that just concludes the point that we're going to paskin like Rabbi Yossi over Rabbi Meir because we're going to go like Rabbi Yossi over Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda goes over Rabbi Meir. Right, we've covered that. I'm Rav Asi Af Ani Lo Made Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Shimon Halachik Rabbi Yossi. So now we're going to introduce a Tana that we haven't discussed, and that is what about Shitas Rabbi Shimon. So if it's a machlok between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi, so we're going to follow like Rabbi Yossi. The Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon Halachik Rabbi Yehuda. And here I'll tell you how I arrived at that conclusion. Because when it's a machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, we follow like Rabbi Yehuda. So Hashem b'makom Rabbi Yehuda leisa b'makom Rabbi Yossi mibaye. So fine. So if Rabbi Yehuda is going to trump Rabbi Shimon, so then certainly Rabbi Yossi, who trumps Rabbi Yehuda, is certainly going to be trumping Rabbi Yehuda as well. So ibaylu Rabbi Meir Rabbi Shimon my teku. Okay. So now, In the setup, what if I have Rav Meir and Rabbi Shimon? So the Gemara says stalemate, meaning we don't know. Amar Rav Mesharsha leisna lahani klalei. So and Rav Mesharsha says we don't follow these klalim, meaning some of these principles that we just laid out, he doesn't follow. And what we'll do is we'll leave ourselves off over here, in which we're going to see how Rav Mesharsha is dismissive of this idea that we have these klalei apsak, these general rules. Okay, and it gives us now a wonderful opportunity to review the daf. We spoke about the position of Rav Yochanan Nuri, a sleeping person's kohen makom shvisa. The Gemara extends it even to inanimate objects. The Gemara says one of the braises that supported this is the rain that comes down. We talked about rain coming down in Erev Yontif, and we talked about rain that came down on Yontif itself. For the rain that comes down on Erev Yontif, So the halach is, if I follow Rav Yochanan Nuri, so then that means that the rain is going to be kone makom shvisa, because it's ownerless. And just like a sleeping person is kone makom shvisa, so is the rain itself. As far as the rain that comes on Yantiv, so where did that rain generate from? So it generated from the oceans. Was it there during the Ben Hashemeshes period? So all this was part of the discussion. But just as a summary and a conclusion, we said that the water in the ocean is not kone makom shvisa because it's in motion. And things in motion are not kone makom shvisa. And the same thing is true when the water is in the clouds. It's in motion. And so it's not kone makom shvisa. So therefore, the first time that it has the opportunity to be kone makom shvisa is only if it comes down on the ground. And since it came down on Yantiv, so therefore, it didn't acquire a makom shvisa. And so therefore, the mamale, the one who fills it up, so it's going to follow whoever filled it up. That is a quick conclusion. We touch on issues of nolad. We touch on issues of safek. Safek de Rabbanan, Davishir Shalmatirin. Okay, a lot of ancillary, interesting, important topics. Okay, our second issue today, which really covered the majority of today's daf, is how we're going to paskin over here. Rabbi Yoshua Levi says that we're paskin like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, despite the fact that he is a das yachid. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. We also know that Rabbi Yoshua Levi additionally said that when it comes to Erevin, we're going to be mekel in general. So why do I need both of those statements? Good. So as we just went over, three opinions amongst the Amoraim, why I need both. The Rebbe Zera, which took us to the bottom of the Amud Aleph, Rav Papa and Rav Ashi on the top of the Amud Beis. Then, next part of today's daf, Klalei Apsak. When I have a machlokus between various Tanayim, so who do we follow like? So interesting Klalei Apsak that's brought in today's daf, right? It's a really fundamental daf in terms of how to paskin. So when it comes to the Shitas of Rebbe Kiva and Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, if they're arguing with another individual, so we pass like Rabbi Kiva, like Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. When it comes to Rav Yossi, we follow like Rav Yossi, even against Rabbim. That's the this is all aliba de some amarayim, right? And we'll see. It's open to controversy. What about shitas like Rav Yossi and Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda? And so basically, the pecking order that we lay down is that Rav Yehuda is over Rav Meir, and Rav Yossi is over Rav Yehuda. So therefore, Rav Yossi is going to go over Rav Meir. What about shitas Rabbi Shimon? Good. So that was also part of the discussion. The Gemara ended up concluding that Rabbi Yehuda is over Rabbi Shimon, and since Rabbi Yossi is over Rabbi Yehuda, so then Rabbi Yossi over Rabbi Shimon as well. Okay, and even though these are Klalei Apsak, not subscribed to by everybody, as we're going to see, and we're going to begin in tomorrow's daf.